Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
7:38 Central African time, time of the morning, where we join Ahmad Tariq, Councillor Ahmad Tariq on his segment, Straight Talk. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning? Ahmad?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ala nasalam to all our radio listeners on a beautiful Sunday morning. Just in Durban, it's a little bit chilly than the other provinces, but alhamdulillah. But Cape Town is very, very cold, I believe. But alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us with another fine day, Shabbat.
Now, as you said, a beautiful, fine day indeed, and we are blessed with it. Talking about blessings, you know, the comings and goings, man comes and man goes, and how often we hear, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, from Allah we come, and unto Allah shall we return. What's the latest on the kafan dafan scene, Ahmad?
Shabbat, one very important factor we need to bring it on, bring it to our listeners, that this WhatsApp is a very good thing for communication purposes. But when it comes to dafan kafan, and any information they get that so-and-so was shot, or there was a shooting in any area, do not post it and ring an alarm bell when you have not already verified it. There's a WhatsApp going around, five people were shot, and they said specifically Muslim, five people were shot in Musgrave. There's nothing like that. This is all hoax. And if anyone in the province get shot or anything, I will be the first one, because it has to come, if that is unnatural causes, it has to come to the mortuary. We will know about it. None of our burial society knows there was five people shot or anything. You know, when five Muslims get shot in an area like Musgrave and all, you know what the story, front page, television, national television will have it, everything. So I appeal to our community, whenever there is, obviously, we have got the South African funeral network. You are linked with it. You will get any information you're looking for in the province. Wherever there's a mayat, you will get that information, time, who has passed away, which family they come from. All that information now is so easy, you get that information. But when you're getting information where a person has been shot, or he's been drowned, or he fell off the ship, or whatever, please verify it before even going on to WhatsApp. It caused a huge problem for everyone, because everyone now is phoning me. Yesterday I had, I don't know how many calls from the morning, right up to the evening before I went to sleep. What happened? What's the story there in Musgrave? There's nothing like that, Shafat. If there is anything like that, we will know about it, and we will also post it from the via through the right channels, through the network, to say so and so. This is what happened. There was an accident or whatever it is. This is the way it should be done, Shafat. Because end of the day, you know, you can't just go and put things into WhatsApp and you know, ring a huge alarm bell, and nothing is actually not true, Shafat.
Khalid says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Tariq. I want to know how safe it is to go to the Kabristan. A few years ago, one of my uncles got hijacked, and from then, I'm always in a ghabrat mode. Unfortunately for me, I'm the only family male member. So when I go to Kabristan, I have to go alone, like a lonely ranger. Please, Ahmad, how do you respond to this brother, Khalid here?
Shafat, you know, mugging, that, you know, these are petty mugging or hijacking that is taking place all, not only in KZN, all over the country it happens. So it mustn't stop you from going into the Kabristan. Most Kabristans today, alhamdulillah, we have got security. You take our biggest cemeteries and all that, we got the security there. But you get, you know, if you now you're going to, at a time, like on a very quiet day or something, then you're looking for trouble. You're coming and telling me, now take me. So, you know, you have to go. When you're going with Kabristan, take one or two friends with you, or take somebody with you. It makes your life easy. It makes it easier. At least you've been secured as well. And when you're there, when you're doing Allah's work, you're going to make dua for your loved one. you got the protection of Allah. Read and go there. Nothing will happen, Shafat.
This message says, please, Ahmad, make me maaf. The honest truth is that I do have a few Malawians living in my yard, but I know they're undocumented. But as a Musalman, it is my duty to take care of them. They're making hijrah to my country, so why must I not be good to them? Many of you guys say, don't keep them. But I say, keep them, because they made hijrah to us. They needed the work. I gave them the work. Please, Ahmad, I also want to know when they die, what I do. I will still bury them. I'll give you all the money. Please advise. Ahmad, how you respond to this message here?
Shafat, in that question, there's two folds in that question. Number one, fine, I accept what the brother is saying in terms of hijrah. He's coming into our South Africa for greener pastures and everything. That's number one. There's no problem. Secondly, you are duty bound to bury him here if he passes away in our country. We will do it fi sabilillah. That's no problem there too. But the main issue is you are harboring an illegal citizen in South Africa. That is a problem, because now the law is very, very simple. You cannot harbor, by you harboring an illegal citizen in the country, it is now your duty. Since you're making him stay in your outbuilding, or if he's working for you, it's fine. Alhamdulillah, that's fine. But it is your duty. Now you need to do his paperwork. Get an asylum paper for him, or get, if he came on a visa. Normally, his visa is only given for 30 days. And in some cases, if he came on a student's visa, it can give you a year. All that is in place. But if everything you have got in place, go to Home Office and tell him he must also make the brothers that he is harboring there at his property, tell him they also must go to Home Office and make some decision. Because end of the day, you will be responsible by harboring illegal citizens in the country. That is the problem he's going to be faced with.
Tahir says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Paraka. We see a lot of the graveyards are being vandalized. But alhamdulillah, our Muslim graveyards are intact. Do you have any incidents where there were vandalism of Muslim cemeteries? Ahmad, that's a probing question from Tahir. I'm interested.
Shafat, fortunately, and alhamdulillah, it is a pleasure that we do not put tombstones around. Unlike the non-Muslim way, they're putting tombstones and all. They come and come and steal the granite and all that from the non-Muslim cemeteries and all that. So because ours is plain and simple way we do things, so that's why we don't have any problem. And that's why you'll find most of our cemetery, I say most of our cemetery is in immaculate condition. If you go to any time of the year, you will see always, because if we are duty-bound, and the brothers and who go to the Kabristan, if they see if that Kabristan is not clean, it is their duty also all bring, call the Islamic Burial Council, whichever area they're maintaining the cemetery, unless it's the private cemetery, to bring it to the attention of the trustees of that cemetery to make sure that cemetery is cleaned up on a regular basis, Shafat.
Iqbal says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Farak. He's a very informed man. Allah bless him now and forever. And also, Marcus Sahaba, for hosting such a powerful program with Ahmad Farak. Straight Talk, he's also one of my favorite. Please, Ahmad Farak, tell me, how long does a body that is drowned last in the sea? And how long after do you stop searching for the body? Ahmad?
Shafat, firstly, I must give sadqa, because that brother has praised me too much. Now I have to, nazar, now I have to take sadqa for that now. Number two is, how long it takes to decompose the body? Yes, Shafat, depending on where he's buried. If he's buried where they got clay, and clay is like it becomes like snow, like balls of stone. So in places like that, where the soil is very, very hard, the decomposition takes longer. But if you take in Durban and surrounding, where our stand is, very, very soft, it gets quicker. But the major problem that we are facing, the world is they're talking about weather changes, climate change, and all those things, what we are studying at the moment. You will find that there is less salt in our soil at the moment. So therefore, in some cases, it will take longer to decompose the body.
Well, there's Ahmad, a reporter for you, Iqbal. Hi. Ahmad, you know, many here in Sepinggo Beach, I say, you know, you talk about climate change and the water's going up by a few millimeters. I mean, you know, I don't know, 1 meter, 1.5 meter. You know, we got our shorelines here, especially I live behind that bank. When that bank's going to fall, Ahmad?
Shafat, that is tawakkal Allah. That I cannot give you an answer for. But you know what? This is reality. Now, you can see over the years what is happening, how many floods. You haven't heard of floods that the last flood we had in 1987, Shafat, if you know, by the airport, that whole that Mondi side was completely, you couldn't leave Sepinggo Beach to go into Durban in 87. After that, 2017, then you got another flood in 2021. Then you had one recently now, this year. So you need to take into account why these floods are taking place. You had a tornado recently. Now, you know, all these things, you need to analyze it and say, you know what is Allah punishing us or what it is? We have to also, but what the Quran and say, these things will start coming. It will teach mankind what is happening, who's in command of everything, Shabbat.
Looking at, a water project, $3 billion down the drain. What's going on here in, Junubi Africa? Water projects, all projects, everything being compromised. And, you know, the stealing, the looting still goes on. Zandile Gomede walks into court, smiling at everyone. Witnesses are frightened and, don't want to come forward. And what's really happening, Ahmad? Tell the Ummah.
So, well, there's two questions here. Number one is the water issue. Yes, we're losing about 51 to 52% of our water consumption. You'll find every road, everywhere, there's water leaks. Pumps are not working. We are losing and we are paying for this. It's costing the city alone in the region of just under $2 billion a year. We're paying for nothing. That's number one. Number two is the Zanele Gumede matter, which is before the court at the moment. She's showing a brave face, Shafat, but the problem is now they're attacking all the witnesses. So the main criteria supposed to have been the state supposed to be putting these witnesses under witness program, protection program. Nothing is happening. Now, you know, when it comes to mafia style, you know, she ran the city and she was a mayor. And she still got clout over some of her cronies that are in council at the moment. So you will find these things when you step on the wrong side of the road, they'll put a bullet for you and they think nothing about each other. It's a very, very dangerous game in council. In fact, this is just the beginning of what you see. It's coming to a stage where they will have to step the mark because of the 2024 election. The ruling party, the ANC, you know, Ramaphosa is gone to Russia for what event? Not to go and get to get some trade from Russia or anything. He went to bring in money for the ANC to make sure they still remain in government. And if he's not going to do that, they want to buy votes. They want to pay for things to make sure they stay in government. You saw yesterday with EFF, the FNB stadium was full. Now you'll ask yourself, FNB is capacity 70,000 or 65,000 people. How is this possible? That man has got a massive support. No, Shafat is simple. Rent a crowd. There's a thing called rent a crowd. You can give them the T-shirt. You give them 100 rands. And for them, they got sponsors. And because they are in parliament and the government pays you for every candidate that you have got in government, you get R1 million a year. So that money is used for things like this year. So you can fill it up. I can fill Curry's Fountain tomorrow with Action SA. I can rent the crown, go to everybody, give them one T-shirt, $80 to 100 rand. I'll get it there, get buses, bring them from all over the show. But we don't want to do that. We want our true strength, like what we went in Nongoma. We said we're going there. We want to test the ground in Nangoma. Do we have support? Yes or no? Yes, we do have support. We showed it to the country that in the heart of Nangoma, we got 10.2%. So, you know, this is all window dressing what they should. But the dangerous man in this country is Malema. And if he goes and join the ANC, it's going to be a very, very dangerous game they want to be playing with. So we all need to be prepared to say, you know what, far as possible, keep them under the 50% mark and have a coalition in this country, and this country will come right. And our slogan, actually, SA slogan is, fix South Africa, we will be able to fix South Africa. I've just been reading the papers today. They went overseas now. They went to Japan. There's a whole lot of countries where coalition government is working. They went to get cue from them how this whole thing is working. We have got a dialogue set out for this month with all the parties, sitting down with them and finding, leave the differences, but let's sit down together and find a way how to keep the EFF and ANC under the 50% threshold and have a good coalition to govern this country and give service delivery to the people of South Africa and this community.
Ismail says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak, Shafat Ahmed Khan, and Marcus Sahaba. Please let me know about this new Minister of Electricity. Since he joined us, it seems as if Eskom is getting worse. Please, Ahmed, inform.
Shafat, you see, this the biggest problem that this country faced, they didn't have, they sent all our top artisans away all over. They went and brought all their own cronies and all. They stuffed this whole electricity Eskom up completely to the, they damaged it so badly. Now the ANC government, led government is in a rush to fix load shedding because it's costing the country 65,000 jobs already just because of this load shedding. Now, this new minister they brought on board, that is what, you see, I'll give you a typical example. Swingo Beach School, you know the scenario there. When we were putting the old school, there was that hut and all that in a classroom. You remember this standard 4, standard 5 were in their yes. Classes, made with asbestos and all, the water system. People were getting, the students were getting sick there because of the pipes were all rotten, rusted and all that. All they were getting diarrhea and all that. What we were doing, we were putting pressure so much with the Department of Education. They brought, Singh was gone, they brought Pillay. When we put pressure by Pillay, they went and brought Naidu in. When we put pressure with Naidu, they will keep changing this, the principles. The reason is to take the pressure away from the Department of Education. Now the new principal comes, you have to start the ball game again. So now, this is the problem. Yeah, Ramaphosa was faced. Now, how to keep South Africa intact and take the pressure away from it? So he appointed a Minister of Electricity to put all the pressure on him, let him handle that thing. He did a little bit of good. The good did come out because he went and negotiated with our neighboring countries and bought a little bit more power that we had to buy here to keep our grid going. So you can see in some cases where there was 7 and 8 hours and all, he reduced it to 4 hours and now to 3 hours. So, but long and short, it shouldn't be like that. No, it shouldn't be no load shedding at all. So he's in a fix at the moment. He's trying to do his best to get the thing. But in the meantime, you know, you might be thinking how they're coming to low from 6 to 3 to 2 and all that. Because the people in South Africa, most of our people and the big corporates and all that, they are buying, they're doing their own thing at the moment. They're putting solar from, they bring the top guys from overseas, from Germany, Australia, you know, the big countries in the world where they have the solar system. They're bringing them, they bring their own contractors from there to come and install here to get additional, to keep their industry going and to not lose business. So they're doing that. So it is a little bit of, the pressure is out of the government a little bit because everybody coming away out of the grid. They said, you know what, we got our own ball, we got our own power supply now. We don't need the government anymore. We are running our own now. So this is what's happening at the moment in South Africa at the moment, Shepard.
Sakala for that. Akram says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Bhai and Shafad Bhai. I'm a Pakistani living in South Africa, but me have two business, one also in Zimbabwe. I tell you, Zimbabwe business thriving very nice because no load shedding. What is wrong? South Africa have so much load shedding. Zimbabwe have a lot gold too. Please, Ahmed Bhai, visit Zimbabwe. South Africa can learn a lot. Ahmed, how you respond to Akram Bhai?
Shafad. Well, Aslam Bhai mustn't compare South Africa to Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is a small country compared to what South Africa is. South Africa, businesses and industries are like 100-fold bigger than Zimbabwe. And we need a lot of power to generate in South Africa to keep all our businesses, our households. Also, you must understand, a lot of people came from the rural area. So we need more power. More flats have gone up, more businesses. Everybody's looking for more in Amlazi, Mashu, in all the black townships in our Indian areas and all. More, you can see thousands of new homes compared to 3 years or 5 years ago. In the COVID time, people will not be able to go for holidays. They didn't go anywhere overseas and all. What they did, Shafat, the building industry was thriving. The hardware shop were making gold money. It was like a minting machine for them because people went and bought now hardware. They said, we can't go overseas. A family of five, family of two, three, four, they were going to Dubai every year. They go for holidays. They said, all this money is with us. Let's do our house up. They painted the house. They fixed the roof. They did extension to the house. They have did a lot of renovation to the houses and all that. But now everything opened. Now they're back to normal. They're going overseas and all that. So there was a small boom in terms of the COVID time because they did something because they were sitting and doing nothing. So they were doing something to upgrade the houses and all that. Shafa.
Zakallah for that. A lot of messages coming through this morning. And Nabil says, Ahmed, have you been watching the Manning Road Methodist Church eco team? That has been collecting recycled bottles and papers for 3 years and is excited of having reached a milestone of 100,000 glass bottles. Shouldn't we as Muslims show our community that we are also worried about the environment and the ecosystem? Perhaps we can have our mosque and our musallis going around and collecting bottles and keeping the seashores clean and in that way doing dawah for Islam. Please, Ahmed, I'd like your comments. How do you respond there, Ahmed?
Shafad, I salute that brother who dropped in a question like that. You see, with us, Shafad, we say, no. Pay John and get your garden cleaned up. We tell, we will jump. One, you're not registered as a voter in this country. You don't register to vote in the elections, number one. Number two, you'll sit back. And you say, no, somebody else will do it. Hey, Ahmed Parak is very, very good at this job here and all that. Let him do it. Hey, Allah give you long life. Allah give you a lot of taqat in your life. Give you, carry on with the good work. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah. But tell them to do the job, Shafat, that same brother and all that. Don't worry. I'll see how I can help and all that. He'll give you, if you ask him for some donation and all, he'll put his hand in his pocket. He'll do that. But tell him to do the work. They won't come forward. This is our problem. There's an apathy among our Muslims that they don't want to do anything. They'll say, no. We're okay and all that. The burial guys will do the burial thing. The NGOs will do their thing. Instead of all saying, let's come together. Let's put it. The only time they all came together was when the looting time. All of us. Because they had to protect the houses, they had to protect the properties and everything else. They all came in, the businesses. At that time, there was this unity among the Muslim community. It was unbelievable. After that looting, everything was done and dusted. Today, we don't even find them. We call them to say, let's have a get together and all. No, but, you know, I'm not well. But meantime, he's sitting in front of his TV and watching a movie or whatever it is. But the apathy among our community is very, very, very bad. Instead of saying, you know what, in our area, we're not getting this road clean. We got verges on the pavement. Let's one Sunday, all of us get together. Let's buy some bin bags. They are cheap. Let's buy bin bags. Buy a couple of brooms. Let's sweep our area. Keep our area clean. No. They can't do that. They will make noise to say, you know what? Get the counselor. It is his job. He must make sure he cleans that road. Get that thing sorted out. He's been voted to do his district. Yes, we are voted. But we need community participation with the government to do things. This is how it works.
Ahmed, I tell you, I'll give you full marks for that. And then instead of, you know, doing the hard work, or, I mean, it's even leisure time because you got your brothers there, you're talking to each other, you're picking up. It's sunnah to keep your area clean. And also, but instead of doing that, rather than spend a couple of grand at the gym, Ahmed.
Yeah, this is how it works, Shafat. You know, our people don't want to. They say, no. Hey, Shafat Khan is a very, very good, you know, program when it comes to with all the radio station and all. He's a master. To say, you know what, Shafat, let's go and see how Shafat does things and all. Maybe we can learn from Shafat. No, that they won't come. You know, you ask, Shafat, I'll tell you a typical example I'll also give you. You tell them to come for Ghusl classes. We're talking about men folk. Come for Ghusl classes, and we'll also give you a certificate when you finish the course in a month's time. We'll advertise it via your radio stations. We will put it everywhere in the mosque board, everything. You'll only get maybe 3 or 2. But put it for the ladies. Shafat, when you put it, you'll get 130 to 40 ladies. And in fact, maybe more. That is what the problem is in our community, Shafat.
Now, you're making a good point there, Ahmed. And, you know, whilst there's an Ahmed Parak, go and learn from him, people, because there are very few Ahmed Paraks around. As we said, you know, alhamdulillah, in my case, Ahmed, you know, I've been called by many institutes to lecture and to talk about broadcasting, even comparative religion. I mean, I worked with Sheikh Ahmed Didat as his editor, so I do share my expertise. But if you snooze, Ahmed, what happens? You lose. Yeah, you snooze. I mean, that's all I can tell the people. You snooze, you lose. You're going to miss out. Ahmed, I'm looking at a message here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. My name is Farooq, and I go quite often to Florida Road. Why is there so much of noise and nuisance at night? Even a lot of our prostitutes coming through. I mean, a lot of Muslims go there. Sometimes it's embarrassing to drive with our wives and our children there. Why is this so bad, Ahmed? Can Itikweni clear this pest and nonsense out? Ahmed, how you respond to our brother there?
Shafat, in the Florida Road business district, they call it, there's a special unit has been formed there. And that, they made it like a nightlife. If you go to Cape Town, your nightlife is the waterfront. That's what, there was no area to do in Durban and surround for the people to have all the restaurants and everything. But yes, you will find, in all that rush, you will always find drug dealers there, you will find prostitutes there, you will find you will get that. So the people need to go for you know, on an outing on a Friday evening for supper or Saturdays, or they go for lunch on Sunday. That is that area they are demarcated. You'll see what they have done with the lights, the roads and everything. You'll see the city has put in money there to make sure that, you know, at least they can show the international world, look at what we've got, how our restaurants and everything are in that area, there, Shafat. But if there is an issue there, they can bring it up with there's a special unit there. If you go to the offices in Florida Road and you'll see there, you go do your complaints there, and then comes via the city, and then we can take this matter up, Shafat.
Now, Jazakallah for making us all aware of that. Brilliant indeed. Harun says, Assalamu alaikum. Ahmed, are you aware of that KZN man was killed at a fast food outlet drive, and this followed an argument? Then in Victoria Street, there was also a robbery of the cell phone shops, and 5 people were injured. One of the guards were shot. What is going on in KZN? And people are losing the cool, getting angry. It seems like too many people have guns on their hands, Ahmed. How you respond here, Ahmed?
Shafat, the Victoria Street one, what happened was they went into that A5 shop, which they, you know, and that shop, you go there anytime. If you go there today too, you'll find the how busy they are. And they know. You know, if you go to any store and you know, people come in first, before they want to come and rob you or do anything, they come and do a survey in your shop, walk into your shop, come there to see if there's cameras there, how the security system is there, if we're going to attack that shop, on which angle we want to do it, which day we want to do it, and how we want to do it, how is going to be the getaway car, all that they they put all their plan together before they come. And in this case here, a security from the other side of the road saw them, and he shot at them. And that's where the others, some of the passing by shoppers got shot in this thing. It was more like a crossfire. This is what happened there. So the full report we got from the council yesterday as well, it was a shooting, but all five survived in that shooting there. Some of them are in hospital, but most of them are out of hospital at the moment.
Anonymous says, Ahmed Parak, you know, we saw that in Johannesburg, everything exploded. Some say gas explosion, some say it was a terrorist attack. But yeah, when you come to Ambilo Road and to some of our roads, we are getting big, big craters coming through. Very soon, all these roads will collapse. What are we doing about this, Ahmed?
Javad, if you see that Joburg Bree Street and all that issue, when Herman Mashaba, my president, was the DA mayor, he brought it to the attention. In fact, I was reading his clip that he sent through to me the other day. And he made it very, very clear. At that time, when he was the mayor of Joburg, that he says this gas leaks, the Zamazamas, the issues that we are faced with all these underground gas and all that, and the government did nothing. They put it in File 13. So this is a problem that we have got in the city as well. Even in that Ambilo area, you find there's sewage leaking there, the water leaks are there, in the Gale Street has gone. Gale Street, where my factory was, it was gone. Now you go there, Shafat, it's gone gray completely. So this is the problem. Now, from one side, you know, to fix South Africa, is not going to be, even if we come into power next year, and it's going to be a long drawn thing. Even next year, what will happen after the 24 election? People now say, you know what? Okay, the new people are on the block there. We will get service delivery. Yes, you will get service delivery. But with service delivery, you need a lot of money. Now, you're not going to go into a business, or you go into, take in your case, you go, you've been approached by Joe Block in another radio station. When you go there, you see the equipment and all is not 100%. It'll take you time to get it to your standard. So this is what's going to happen. It might take you, in your case, it might take you 3 months, 2 months, or 5 months to get it to your standard, what your equipment you require, what type of systems you require, how the systems must work, all that, it'll take you time. It's the same thing in government here too. We want to come in 2024, the coalition government will take over, and with the help of Allah, and then it'll take us time. Now we got not only KZN, we got 9 provinces in the country. We have to fix every province has got its own challenges. Yeah, we got massive challenges here. Joburg has got major issues there. Cape Town has got its own problem. Everywhere it's got problems. So we have to now pull the whole, firstly, the first priority must be how much are we allocating to fix South Africa. Number two is which province need the priority. All that has to be taken place. Then you need to get the South African steps sorted out. You got Home Affairs to worry about. There's all government departments need to be cleaned up. You got all the Chora Mamas there, Chora Machane, Chora. All those guys need to be weeded out. So it's not going to be an easy task to go into 2024 and say in the next 2-3 months, we got this country up and running. No, it's not going to happen. But what will happen is a lot of international countries from overseas and all will invest. Now they can see there's no more chor machana chores there. There is people who can govern this country. They will invest in the country.
Great indeed, Ahmad. This message says, Ahmad Parak, Itikweni municipality send the people to repair but what they do, the efforts only appear to fix the symptoms rather than the source. Why don't they go to the root of the problem and fix that up than to do superficial fixings? That's a good question, Ahmad.
Shafat, you know, at the moment, everyone in the city, every resident, businessman, layman, even the guy in the people living in informal settlement in the Jondol, everybody is crying. The whole city, the people of the city, load sharing, sewage leakage, water problem, potholes. There's a whole host of things. People are crying left, right, and center on a day-to-day basis. How much can you be able to do? The city cannot do. And in fact, what we got at the moment, what they do is they do a patchwork, keep you quiet, and within 3 months, that thing is going to go back to square one again. And furthermore, they're giving it out to contractors. Now what will happen is the contractor, instead of using genuine parts there, genuine material, he use inferior material, and then he knows 2 months or 3 months down the line, he's going to get another call out to come and do the same thing again, Shabbat.
Absolutely, Ahmad. I really enjoyed your segment, Straight Talk. You do justice to it. And tell me, Ahmad, when you walk in the street, they say, hey, Ahmad, I enjoy you, man. I enjoy in radio. You give us a full Kal Guzari. Tell us, Ahmad.
Shafat, you know, I was in Newcastle this few days and I had a lot of work there. And all. You know, at the even you go to, like, you know, when we stop at Alpha City, we go to the restaurant or to catch a chow, or we're going to buy some sandwiches, or we go, like, I was there in the masjid and I had my Action SA shirt on, and they say, hey, Action SA, you know, people now with this thing, how can we register for your party? And a lot of blacks are saying, how can we register for your party? And you know what? One thing I say to everybody, tell the truth. Can be done or can't be done. If I tell you, Shafat, can't be done, it can't be done. Finish. End of story. You will know. You'll respect me for that. Don't say, I'll make a plan. 2 weeks later, I'll make a plan. It's not going to happen. You know that it's not going to happen. Tell him, you know what? We have a problem in the city. It's a massive problem. It will take me time, but I will make sure it will be done in due course. At least you know you're giving an open-ended answer to tell him it's going to be done next month or next week. Then you're closing your doors on somebody, because that guy protection, that guy was supposed to have voted for you. Now he's saying, hey, you're bullshitting him. And he doesn't like that. And he wants the truth, nothing but the truth.
Well, you said it well. And what about that brother, Ahmad? You tell him, hey, man, I want to go to the moon. He said, don't worry, Ahmad, I'll make a plan. Yeah.
You know, I always say I make a plan when I'm sure I can do it. I tell him, I'll make a plan. Then I'll phone him and tell him, I've done it. I made a plan for you. That's what I will do. But I won't tell him it is done and it's not going to be done. That's what I try and avoid. And that's why a lot of people respect me, because I tell them straight, it's not going to be done. We have a problem and you know what it is. So I'd rather tell you upfront before you come and attack me.
Jazakallah khair, Ahmad. You have a mash. I'll give you a parting word. What's your parting words this morning?
The fact you see everywhere you having problem, I'm still maintaining there is a blight in this country. There is people who are sincere in what they are doing in this country. Get yourself organized. Go and get your family when the registration open for voting. This is going to be the mother of all elections in many, many years. In the last 30 years, this election is going to separate the boys from the men, Shabbat.
You heard that, people. Join him into the Premier League. Time for us. Ahmad, you have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.